Good evening, Daniel. Welcome to the Space Show. Okay, now we've got along here a timeline and pictures. And I noticed
I think we should start from the far end.
Dot. We'll just wander down here, whooshing in our time machine, right down to... where have we arrived at?
So we're starting from the dawn of astronomy, or the dawn of astronomy as far as we know about it, which is 4,500 years ago, which was when Stonehenge was built in the UK. And not long after that, we've got records from Chinese astronomers recording the first solar eclipse. Now, I'm sure people were probably watching the stars even before that, but it's the first records we have of people making astronomical observations.
And Aristarchus.
I didn't know this. So apparently 2,280 years ago, Aristarchus proposed that the Sun is at the centre of the solar system. I didn't even know this, that Indian astronomers had suggested this 600 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently it wasn't Copernicus.
The idea was quite old by then, but he was the one who sort of popularised it in Europe more.
Yeah. So, I didn't know this either, gosh. 2,249 years ago, there was the Chinese astronomers even recorded a passing of Halley's Comet.
Yes, suppose guest stars were... moving things were very important just to Chinese people, weren't they?
So it's well known that Chinese astronomers recorded, as you say, guest stars, which we know to be supernovae now, so it's when a star dies and goes bang. And we know that because we can see the remnants that they are still expanding, and we observe them today, and you can trace them back to... We know they exploded in, say, there's a very famous one called Tycho's supernova remnant, and that exploded in about... the Crab exploded is the most famous one, of course, the Crab Nebula, and that was a star that exploded in 1066, I think, if I've got it right. 1086. Well, we can tell that in a second. That's coming right
it'll come up.
So, yes. So it's 955 years ago. So we worked that out.
Yep. Okay. 2009 minus 955.
Here's a test of my maths now.
Yep.
So I'm getting...
Now, year of astronomy, of course, it's hung on...
1054, sorry.
1054, yes. Right. I knew that date, but I couldn't remember it. Yes, 400 years ago.
So Galileo, of course, is one of the most well-known astronomers, but he was the first to make observations using a telescope. So this is 400 years ago, and if you think all of the astronomy that was done before that was done by eye. So all of the things recorded by Chinese astronomers were visual observations that they'd recorded. And so Galileo opened up a new frontier by making a telescope, and it's actually one of the things that's being celebrated this year. Is that's why the International Year of Astronomy is in 2009, because it's exactly 400 years after Galileo made the first observations with a telescope.
And the dates are getting closer and closer together.
Yeah, so of course, once you've got a telescope, then a lot of things open up. And this has stayed true throughout the whole of astronomy, is that astronomy really progresses by new instruments. And whenever we've opened up a new... for example, looking at a new part of the electromagnetic spectrum, if we've got a new infrared telescope or a new X-ray telescope, every time we've looked somewhere new, we've found something that nobody expected. It was true 400 years ago that, once telescopes were around, Christian Huygens proposed that the ring around Saturn was solid, and he discovered its moon, Titan. Galileo, of course, used a telescope to find the satellites of Jupiter, which are called the Galilean moons for that reason. And we're following... Well, I guess we're a bit further along now, but...
Perhaps we could jump up to the Neptune?
Yeah, so Neptune was discovered 163 years ago, shortly after Uranus, which was... Uranus was discovered 228 years ago. But Neptune was predicted. So there were, using Kepler's laws, people studied the motion of the planets up to Uranus and realized that something funny was going on, and that to account for the motion there would need to be another planet. And so the prediction was made that another planet should be there, and they looked for it, and sure enough, there it was. And So that's how Neptune was discovered.
Hubble.
Yeah, I want to... So Hubble was most famous. So Hubble, which this is 86 years ago now, so we're now into the 20th century. Hubble took observations of distant galaxies, and he looked at their spectrum. So he looked at the light from them, as we discussed before, and the fact that you can see these lines in the spectra and that they move, you know what wavelength they should have been at, and you can see what wavelength they're at now. And Hubble studied the galaxies, and what he observed was that with all the galaxies that he observed on the sky, so this is just beyond Andromeda, so further away than our local group, that they were all moving away from us. And even more, he discovered what's known as Hubble's Law, which is that they're not only are they moving away from us, but they're moving away from us with a speed that's proportional to their distance. So the further away they are, then the faster they're moving.
But Daniel, we're about halfway along our timeline.
Yeah, so we're just discussing the discoveries by Edwin Hubble that galaxies are all moving away from us and that they move with a speed that's proportional to their distance. And of course, the implication of this was huge. So we learnt from the days of Galileo not to treat ourselves as the centre of the universe. So not that that everything else was expanding away from us, but that everything must be expanding. So the whole universe must be expanding, which also implied something even more fundamental. It implied that there was a time in the past where everything was at the same place. So you could... And basically that's what we still do today to give the age of the universe, is divide the speed by how far away everything is, and you can work back in time to find, you know, the year dot. So there was a year dot. And that was a pretty fundamental, you know, discovery in terms of astronomy.
Radio astronomy began when?
Yeah, so Karl Jansky detected radio waves coming from our own galaxy, the Milky Way, and that was 78 years ago. And so there's a measurement unit known as the Jansky, which is the brightness of radio sources on the sky, which is named after him. So halfway through the 20th century, of course, as many people would have been alive for at this stage, was when the first thing we sent up into space. So 1957. Yeah. I wasn't alive October at the time. So.
1957, October 4. And the satellite was called?
It was called Sputnik.
Right.
And so this is the start of man's human exploration into space, which means we're not just looking anymore, and that we could actually start to go outside the Earth, and although we've never got very far. But of course, not long after that, the Russians took pictures of the moon, and then Yuri Gagarin became the first person to go into space, and Neil Armstrong, of course, in 1966 became the first man to walk on the moon, and still we still haven't been anywhere else. So, and of course, the US has big plans now to go back and try and use it as a stepping stone to get to Mars.
Yes, possibly by 2020.
But it tells
about 2020.
It tells you a lot about the distances in astronomy, that distances get big very quickly. So even going to the moon was 3 days or so, but going to our next planet, Mars, is already going to be a sort of 3-year round trip. And, you know, going to Jupiter or something, well, if you take, we've just launched a probe to go to Pluto, it's going to take about 15 years to get there. So the idea of sending people any further than our own solar system really becomes impossible after a while. Now, the distance from Pluto to the next star is another step again. So if you put the solar system to scale and say Pluto's at the end of this room, which is quite a large room, say 100 metres or so, it's not that big. But then the nearest star would be about 5,000 kilometres away. So it really is, the distance changes are huge. And then if you go from the distance between stars, so the distance between stars, we've got no hope of ever sending a probe anywhere except our own solar system. So there's a fundamental limit to human space exploration, which is why we'll always need telescopes.
Okay, we move up to the space shuttle.
Well, so I'm going to say, of course, Voyager was launched 32 years ago, which really revealed a lot about, well, they're still the best images we have of Uranus and Neptune and the outer planets. And Voyager is well, along with Pioneer 1 and 2, is now the kind of the furthest things we've ever sent away from the solar system. They've gone past Pluto's orbit and are heading out into deep space. Although I think we've lost contact with Voyager not long ago. So it's finally been silenced. You know, 32 years ago it was launched. And really, you know, was fundamental in a lot of things about our own solar system. So actually it's another kind of nice thing there as well, that the first space shuttle was launched 28 years ago. And of course the space shuttle's probably only got a year or two left in its legs now, so that's the end of an era as well, is the idea of a reusable space vehicle has come and now gone.
Yes. Maybe one day in the future it'll come back.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the most wonderful instruments in modern astronomy was launched 19 years ago. Gosh, doesn't seem like 19 years ago. And of course was repaired about last week, which is the Hubble Space Telescope. And the kind of images returned by Hubble, of course, it very famously had a wonky gyro when it first went up, and wonky mirror, and had returned very blurry images. But once that was fixed, Hubble has just really revolutionised our view of the universe. Again, it opened up a lot of things. It's revealed more questions than answers. You know, but all of the most spectacular. Nearly all of the most spectacular astronomy pictures you'll see are taken by Hubble. And people fought for a long time to get it up there and to justify it very carefully, but Hubble has just reaped... I mean, its lifetime is 19 years old now, but it's still returning world-class science.
Now, you've said we're confined to our own solar system, and that implies there might be other solar systems?
Well... Yeah, and the wonderful thing about this is that no one thought to look for them. So it was only 14 years ago, it was 1995, that two astronomers using really very basic techniques, taking the spectrum of stars, not unlike our sun, and you could study the motion of the star, and you can see, well, you can see basically if there's a wobble in it, so if it's moving towards or away from us. Now, why would it do that? Well, normally we think about us going around the sun, whereas it's not actually true that we go around the sun. The sun and the Earth go around each other, but the Earth's influence on the sun is really quite tiny. But so what it means is the sun just sort of wobbles slightly, so the centre of mass of the system is very close to the centre of the sun. So the sun just wobbles a little bit from the Earth's motion. Or in our solar system, the biggest influence is from Jupiter. So basically what they did is look for this kind of wobble around other stars, and just nobody had tried it, and they found the first planet around other stars. And so since 1995, of course, there's been an absolute cottage industry in discovering as many of these things as possible. And again, what was really weird is they weren't the kind of solar systems you'd expect. What they didn't find was, you know, well, they wouldn't have found it if it was our solar system. It wouldn't have been detectable at the time. But what they found was these really weird solar systems where you've got a planet that's as big as Jupiter, but it's closer than Mercury. So what were known as hot Jupiters was again. So, you know, then people said, well, you know, how do you get solar systems like that? And it doesn't tell you that. Well, it doesn't mean that the other solar systems like ours don't exist. It just means that the ones with the big, you know, Jupiters in close to Mercury are the easiest ones to find. And so, of course, they found a lot of those things straight away. And now the big challenge is to try and find. So now we're up to that. You know, the count is something like 340-odd planets around other stars have been discovered so far, and the number keeps going up every day, sort of thing. But the big challenge is to find one that's, you know, an Earth-like planet around a Sun-like star, you know, and look for the beachfront property or something.
It's interesting to note that the space show's been on air since 1992, and all of the extrasolar planets we've discovered have been discovered since the space show began. In fact, we interviewed some astronomers who were predicting that sometime in the near future we would discover one or two new planets. How many are we up to now?
Oh, we're in the hundreds.
Hundreds.
So, yeah, and that was what was really amazing. And the techniques they used to discover them, they didn't use a big telescope. You know, the techniques were well established. They just thought to look and said, what if? And the if turned out to be true. There was, you know, very weird things that we didn't expect to find there. And so, of course, the other method that's now being used is to look for transits. So to look for when a planet passes in front of the star, there's a little tiny dip in the light. And so the transit method can be used to find much smaller planets. And so that's the big hope for finding things like the Earth, you know, because you can see it passing in front, even though it doesn't have a detectable wobble on the star.
Cassini-Huygens, I see you've got a picture here. 12 years ago.
Yeah, well, so Cassini's still going around Saturn. Well, it takes a long time to get to Saturn. So
it was 12, it was just about 13, 14 years ago. We were collecting names on the space show, and they are aboard that spacecraft. Space show listeners, folks, we've got a picture of your names
Fantastic.
Here.
Fantastic.
the spacecraft carrying the names.
I mean, with all the discoveries that we've made in deep space, I mean, about galaxies far outside ours and about stars beyond our own, it's easy to forget that there's still wonderful things to be discovered in our own solar system. And Cassini is really, the kind of things that have been returned from, you know, the images of Saturn's rings. And, of course, it launched the Huygens probe, which landed on Titan. And, you know, Titan is a pretty special place. I mean, this probe dropped down, it saw clouds, and it saw rivers and lakes. You know, so, but not of water, of course, but these are rivers and lakes of methane.
And boulders of ice.
Yeah, well, so it landed with a kind of spludgy, spludgy splop on a what looks pretty much like a desert with rocks, but yeah, it's a pretty amazing place, and we really had no idea, because Titan just has these very thick clouds that you can't see into unless you look in the right wavelengths. And so Cassini's has been doing that as well. It's since after the Huygens probe was dropped, it's been taking images of Titan, and you can see these rivers and lakes. So, I mean, it'd be fascinating to go back there, but I think you're going to have to wait another 12 years.
And we're up to now some more recent missions on space.
Yeah, so I'm sure your listeners be well aware of a lot of these things you're on the space show, but after a lot of failed attempts to land things on Mars, that we finally got some going, which were the Mars rovers, which are still going. About 3 years after they landed, so about 5 years after they launched. And the Mars rovers are still going around, just about surviving on their batteries and taking pictures of Mars. And of course there was the Phoenix mission, which landed and took a scoop, found some ice, which was, you know, the first discovery of water on a foreign, you know, well, on a body outside the Earth. So that was pretty exciting too. And of course now there's lots more things being launched. And as we discussed, you know, one of the hot topics in astronomy at the moment is extrasolar planets and looking for planets around other stars. And so the Kepler mission was launched on the 6th of March, which is not too long ago. And that's going to look for planets around other stars by looking for transits. So looking for that little dip in the light and, you know, just basically watching a whole lot of stars and looking for little dips to try and find the... We want to try and find the, you know, the Earth-like planet around the Sun-like star, which might have water, and then we want to take a picture of it.
with the absorption bands we talked about earlier that indicate water.
That's right. Well, so,
and oxygen.
So really there's a lot of incentive here that, you know, once we can find a planet that seems kind of nice, we want to go and take pictures. So I can assure you that there'll be follow-up missions to Kepler, and there's another one called Corot, which is looking for transits at the moment as well. And I can assure you there'll be pretty rapid follow-up if they find something interesting. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Daniel.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks.